I just realized that I think like I just did like a couple weeks ago. I just did the episode with Daniel, and then I think you have the same microphone. So like I'll just slap on my exact same mixing chain.
Hell yeah!
Because you
we do have very different voices. But,
I was just gonna say because you know it's purely about the microphone.
It's
you don't have to take into account
microphone.
Anything about people's voices.
It's so funny when. If I have Daniel's vocals and I'm mixing them, and I put like my preset on it,
yeah,
because I start with my preset on everyone's vocals because I have all the plugins loaded, and the way that I EQ my vocals, I boost my bass a little bit. When you do that on Rustage's vocals, it's just bass overload.
I was gonna say he's got a very bassy voice.
He has a very bassy voice, which I always forget about because I feel like his voice isn't that high pitched a lot of the time.
Right.
It's not. It's not like high pitch, but it's not low pitch. It's just like,
right.
It seems very normal.
But it's bassy.
But then you actually like, it's super bassy. You look at the frequencies and it's like, oh shit.
Yeah. Resonance is interesting. Okay, I guess we're in the episode. Welcome to the Breakfast Club, everybody.
Welcome.
I'm here with Schwabity, fan favorite, longtime caller, first time listener.
Hold on. Fan favorite.
Fan
Hell
favorite.
Yeah. Let's go.
I don't
just
know
by
if I can say that you're
the
fan
episodes.
Favorite. I can say you're up there. I feel like Olaf is like the fan favorite. I don't think anyone can take that away from him.
That's fair.
I mean, or you could try. Listen, nothing is set in stone.
No, I don't think I will.
This is set in stone.
I don't want to fail at something again.
Who hurt you? I'll find him.
Olaf.
All right, never mind. I'm out. I saw how he handles a butterfly knife when he's not dropping it. It's pretty scary. And even when he drops it, it's even scarier because you don't know where it's going. We've got a little bit of a different format now. I talked about this on Twitter. We're doing short episodes. Because I realized that I was spending so much time on editing every week that like putting out new songs is genuinely difficult. Which I'm sure you've run into that editing your weekly podcast. Oh, wait, nobody does that but me. Okay. That's cool. Nobody puts themselves through that. Nerdcore Central, are they every week? Or are they like whenever?
Often? Every whenever, I think. Okay. But also, I'm not sure if Frost does any editing on that besides
that's
just
fair.
Normalizing the volumes.
And the Connor Questlog, that's a weekly show? That's a bi-weekly
show? You
know,
show? It was meant to be bi-weekly. It's been going for 3 months, and I think there's 2 episodes.
Yeah.
So...
And you know what? Those
That's
2 episodes
so
have more
busy,
plays, I think, than my whole podcast. So where's the real success?
That's crazy.
It's a real success. I think he's just afraid to release the episode that I'm on because then that surge in popularity will be too. Like he won't be able to. He always likes to heart all the comments, and I feel like he won't be able to do that when he gets the massive outreach of support from people hearing me on the show.
Yeah,
it's only natural.
So with the show being a shorter format now,
yeah.
Have you kind of condensed the schedule? Do you have like more? You have talking points that you want to hit, and are we still just gonna
pretty
just
much
go off
just
on random tangents?
Pretty much just random tangents. I still have included the you press the button and would you rather? But it's like one of each per episode, and then there's also a special like. Listener participation game that I've added at the end that I'll actually need your help with, but we'll get there when we get there.
Okay. Interesting.
So yeah. So there's no real set topics that I feel like this show would not be what it is if I brought people on and was like, here's our talking points, and also like, you've been on enough times now that like. There's no real point in doing like interview type stuff. Like the first time that I have somebody on, it's like, what do you do? It's like just listen
yeah,
to the old
kind
episodes.
Of know everything about me already.
Yeah, I've pulled those files, and they're linked in the description. There's a spreadsheet describing everything that you've ever done. And that you
the
will
viewers
do.
Have been, the viewers have been demanding to see the Schwabity birth certificate for years. And Freeze finally managed to get it.
They're all claiming you were born in Kenya. And you know what? I have my suspicions. It's a strong Kenyan accent, I've always said, for me. I had an accent moment this past week where I like fully got two UK accents like mixed up, and I was so embarrassed.
That's so sad.
Yeah, because I try so hard to be able to recognize accents, and then I thought I knew what one was, and then it was like adjacent but not the actual one. And it's worse because I thought somebody had a Yorkshire accent, and it wasn't that. But it was still like a northernish accent, but it wasn't a Yorkshire accent. And like, since Yorkshire accents are the accent I'm most interested in typically, it was devastating.
Accents are interesting.
I've gone into hiding.
British accents are interesting because there's like a thin line, because like you can hear very distinctly like between one specific region of Britain and anywhere else in the world, but there is like a very thin line between certain accents, and you discover this if you try and do an accent and you mess it up and you end up in a totally different region.
Yeah,
for example, my favorite is kind of the whole UK, the Welsh accent. The typical Welsh accent is so far removed, but at the same time very, very similar to like a, I think, South Indian accent.
Interesting.
Yeah, because if you try and do a Welsh accent, all right,
it's the cadence, isn't it?
I don't know what it is in particular, but if you do it badly,
yeah,
you will just sound like you're from India.
Interesting.
Or rather, like you're a British person doing an Indian accent,
right?
And
which is something that everybody loves to hear.
People love that. People go crazy for that. It's a similar thing with certain London accents and Australian accents.
Is it the O
sounds?
Which
is slightly more understandable. I'm not sure what it is.
Because like,
I've never been able to pinpoint it.
Because like for me, like I hear a lot of times, especially like I was trying to think of a word that meant from London, and I came up with Londish. So like Londish children. Like they'll have those really exaggerated O sounds at the ends of words that sound almost Australian, like that O, you know. Whereas
that sounded very Australian,
right? You hear like some like London children doing that, like when Georgie Henley was like young and she was in the first Narnia movie. I was obviously that same age, and I was watching like all the behind the scenes stuff. So like, I just thought that is how, like, I just thought that that's what that accent was, and then I heard like older people who had the same accent, and I was like, oh no, that's just like a child thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. I feel like Australian is one of the few accents I can do like decently for more than one sentence, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
there's all those accents that have like a phrase you can do in that accent,
right,
but like you can't say anything else in them. Like, for me, it's Welsh. I can't say anything in a Welsh accent besides, whose coat is that jacket?
Right, whose shoes are those trainers? Which I did do that in the accent,
yeah,
but you know what I mean. Any of the Jimmy Carr lines. I think any time that I try and do, like... I mean, obviously, you're a voice actor, so... And a lot of people think that voice acting just means doing accents or doing voices, when it's like, it's acting. And maybe you do voices, but like, it's acting, you know. But you've done accents for stuff. What do you think is like an expectation maybe that people have? Where like, okay, I'm not phrasing this very well. I think I'll just say what I assume, and you could tell me if you think or have noticed this too.
Okay.
I feel like a lot of people expect, like, actors or voice actors to be able to like snap in and out of voices. Whereas at least like for me, there are some accents that I'm, and just voices in general, that I'm like pretty good at doing, but it might take me like 10 minutes to like get into the voice.
Yeah. It's you know, Bloodstained Soldiers, the Machinima series by Ninothy, that we both voice characters in.
Yeah.
When I record those lines, I'm in a call with Ninothy, and it takes me the better part of 10 minutes just to get into the voice before I can even start recording anything.
Yeah.
And it's like the goofiest sounding thing in the world when I'm just like slipping in and out of this voice, like trying to get a grip on it again. I'm like, okay, there it is.
And yeah.
Finally settle into it. It's just hard.
I don't remember if we've talked about this specific thing before, but, I know this is common for a lot of voice actors. I do this. Do you, just when you're like walking around doing whatever, like walking your dog, whatever, just do like voices quietly to yourself, like just like saying things over and over and over, trying to get the accent right?
I have. Yeah, for sure.
I would say that
not on dog walks,
that.
Because then I'm outside of the house and there might be someone walking behind me without me knowing and hearing me do that shit. If I'm walking my dog, I am dead silent because I don't want a single person in the world to hear my voice when I'm outside. But when I'm in the house, if I'm just like sat on my computer doing something, I'll just like start reading text on the screen in a voice trying to do it. Yeah. Actually, it was not voice acting, it was D&D was what made me start doing that. Because I had characters that had specific regional accents. Mm-hmm. And I would just sit there for time trying to nail the accent, like reading random messages that people send me, like in those accents.
Yeah. I think like I usually wear this like hat, this like Laplander style hat with Perry the Platypus on it. Right. So it's got these like sort of earmuffs that come like down over my ears. So what that means is that I have like plausible deniability that I'm talking on the phone, like that I have an earpiece in or like earbuds or something. Uh-huh. So I give myself license to just like talk to myself when I'm wearing a hat like this as I'm going around, because people might just assume that I'm on the phone. That's what I tell myself. Because I'm going to be talking to myself no matter what. Like, I've always done that since I was little. Whether it's in an accent or not, like, I am going to be just talking to myself over and over. One thing that I do that I haven't heard anybody else, like, say that they do. So if you do this, let me know in the comments. And if you, Trubity, do this, let me know in this call. by saying it to me. But, like, when I'm trying to get an accent or like trying to get usually like a specific phrase or a word or something that I'm not like used to doing, or I can't immediately get how it's supposed to sound, I'll do basically like real time punch-ins. Like I'll say the phrase, and then like if I get like halfway through it and it's not coming out right, I'll like stop saying the word and like start it over. It's like I'm resetting time, and I could do it like just over and over and over again.
Yeah, for sure. I do that. Bro, there's like a couple of words that are like, anytime I see them in a script, I'm terrified. Because I'm like, oh no, I remember this one. I remember sitting there for 20 minutes trying to say this one word in this voice.
Yeah.
And that's the shit where I'll say like a full sentence and then like fuck up on one bit. So I'll just go back and say the same like two words over and over and over again.
Yeah, yeah. Just real-time scrubbing.
It's like, yeah, I forgot to get the ticket for the bus. Ticket for the bus.
Yes!
I'm like, ah!
That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what
literally,
I'm talking
that's
about.
That's it. It just sounds like the record's just skipping over and over.
Yeah. I'd be interested to know, like, how many people who, like, aren't voice actors do that same thing. I mean, I assume that, like, the only context in which you would do that is like if you're trying to get a voice or like get pronunciation right. Maybe if you're just like trying to work on your like delivery for a speech or something. I don't know. Have you given a lot of speeches in your life? Is that like a thing you've done a lot?
I'm not sure if I've ever given a speech.
Did you have to do like speech class in school?
No.
Really? You didn't have to do any kind of like public speaking class?
No, we didn't have that.
Oh.
The closest we got was like an English class. You might be called to the front of the to
I'm
read
so jealous.
A section of a poem or something.
I had to in high school, I had to do at least one speech class. I had like a few, I think, that I was in. And then in college, I had, so at my first school, we had this thing called symposium where we had to do, I think, three speeches over the course of each semester. But it was like every week, you know, a certain number of people would give speeches. And then over the course of the semester, everybody there had to give like a planned speech. That was like a 10-minute speech or a 10-minute speech. You had to give an extemporaneous speech where the morning of you were given your topic and then you had that much time to prepare. Mm. And then you had to do an impromptu speech, which was like you were in symposium and then they'd be like, you're the impromptu speaker. You have like 20 minutes or something to prepare. And then speak for 5 minutes on the topic.
Interesting.
So we had to do that. And then I like passed the like college speech class that was sort of associated with that. And then I transferred schools and at my new school, they were like, actually, we require everybody to do our public speaking class. So I had to do another public speaking class. And okay. I don't hate being in front of people, but I do hate like giving speeches. Speeches are like the worst.
Yeah, I mean, I had a performing arts drama was what I had in high school, was one of my electives. And I was, you know, doing monologues occasionally, and I was acting. But yeah. I never, like, just give a speech.
Yeah, monologues and acting are
I've done presentations, ideal. But I've never given a speech. It's like, you know what I mean? I've been in front of people. I've done public speaking stuff and acting and stuff, but I've never...
I kind of wish now that I had, like, because I hated the class so much, I think what would have made it better, like, just by which I mean not completely insufferable, would have been to just, like, go full tilt into it and like, make everything a TED Talk. Just, like, pure, like, PowerPoint motion graphics, like, handouts for everybody.
Yeah.
Laser pointer, the whole works, and, like, revolutionary concepts, you know? Ideas worth sharing, or whatever their slogan is. But instead, I was
my highest grades when I was in university were always for presentations.
Really?
Yeah, and I think everyone I always worked with in uni hated presentations. Mm. Like any sort of presenting, they were like, "Oh, I hate this. Oh, I don't want to do this part." And I was like, "Are you kidding me? It's free points. I get to put like my work up on the interactive whiteboard behind me and just." Rant at the lecturer about why it's good, and I'm like, I love that.
Yeah, I like teaching stuff, but I don't like preparation, and I don't like slideshows. I really don't like slideshows. But like, if I can go up in front of like a chalkboard and like have something to teach a group, like a room full of people, and then just like write things as they become relevant. That's what I like. I like real-time illustration. Oh,
I panicked when I was teaching I was teaching computer science at a secondary school. It was the second school I was teaching at, and they brought me in and they were like, okay, cool, so you've got these classes. This is going to be your classroom for this class. And I was looking, I was like, oh, okay. Is there a whiteboard? They're like, no, there's no, I was like, what do I write on? Like, no, you won't be doing any writing on the bottom. How do I explain things? Like, oh, you can prepare a PowerPoint. I was like, no. I was like, what?
You got to stand up front, just do your jutsu, like to try and like.
Yeah, I just got to do my hand signs. viewers at home can't see this right now, but I'm doing lots and lots of Naruto hand signs.
Right, that's people don't know that, like, because your hands aren't always in frame when you stream, but that's you're constantly doing hand signs.
Yeah, it's like, obviously, if the camera was panned down a little bit, you'd see that I'm constantly holding the sheep's paws, but it's just out of frame.
Yeah, unfortunately, if they just made bigger cameras. this because that's how that works.
Bigger cameras.
if you wanted to have a bigger picture, you had to have a bigger camera. Like, so if you wanted to make a movie, like the camera had to be that size, like of a theater screen.
Like if you wanted to project it in a
like it was one to one, like how big the screen was to how big holy the camera shit. Was.
It would look like a warship cannon. I would love that.
Oh, that
would make the behind the scenes photos so much better. For like, you look at the behind the scenes of Avengers and you just see, you know, the cast running towards this gigantic contraption to record
just an absolute tank, and then like trying to pan There'd just be no camera motion.
A team of eight just cranking a wheel to turn it around.
It's like, what do you call those things? A palanquin? Is that what it is? Where it's just like a big, like, like platform that's carried by like eight young, supple men.
Yeah.
Hoisted upon their shoulders.
But instead of a member of nobility on the back of it, it's a absolute colossal film camera.
It's just a big chungus of an IMAX, you know, piece of technology.
They would at that point have tank treads, I think.
Yeah. Actually, if you think about it, like, a tank kind of looks... this. Okay, everybody get real high before I say this, because that's the only way it's going to make sense. A tank basically looks like a big camera. You know what I'm saying? A tank looks like a real big camera. I warned you. You had to. If you're not high, it's not my fault that it doesn't make sense.
I'm a slightly divergent.
Okay.
Freeze.
Yeah.
Were you ever into making home films?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You seem like the type.
Yeah. When I was younger, one Christmas, my sister and I were given a like a handheld camcorder, essentially just a smartphone. Like before everyone had smartphones. So it was just that sort of
for
like
young viewers at home.
I mean, like, it
when
looked...
we wanted to record things a decade ago, we had to have a
separate
camcorder.
Yeah. Well, because it literally looked like a smartphone. Like, it was that shape. And it had the
I think
same
I know,
kind of
like, pretty much
screen.
The exact
yeah.
thing you're talking about. Yeah.
So it was, you held it vertically. Obviously, it filmed horizontally. Uh-huh. And I mean, I made like so many. It was that and Windows Movie Maker. Which doesn't even really exist anymore unless you know how to get to it from like within the Windows Photo app.
I used to do stop motion.
Oh yeah, me too.
Who didn't?
Did you do Lego stop motion?
No, I did like claymation.
Oow, wow. You went full Aardman.
And I used to do it was like me, my cousin and my brother were all young budding animators, and we'd do paint animations where we'd actually draw each frame in paint.
Oh yeah.
And then we were like, what if we...
I did that in PowerPoint.
That's interesting.
Because then you've got the slides like built in.
Yeah. Well, what we did is like, we used to make the paint animations, then we'd make claymations. Then we were like, what if you recorded someone doing an action scene and then imported all the frames into paint and drew a stickman that they were fighting?
You invented rotoscoping.
Yeah, it turns out that already exists, and it had been done many times to great effect.
That's like,
it was basically, we did the early 2000s MS Paint version of Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
I was going to say like the old like animated Lord of the Rings where they did a lot of that, but yeah.
Oh, that was, yeah, they like, yeah, painted that. Do you remember that intro scene to the old animated Lord of the Rings?
I think so. Which part?
It's this... It's like the while they're doing the monologue about, you know, 3,000 years ago, the dwarf with a ring, except I think it's Galadriel, not an old man doing it. But anyway, right. They have like all these horribly weird looking rotoscoped men playing like the orcs.
Yes.
And it just, that horrified me when I was a child. I don't know why, but the visual style of it was so like scary to me as a kid. Can I show you something? This is not for the podcast.
Okay, sure.
Because they can't see it.
Right.
It's the limited edition box set for the animated Lord of the Rings.
That's dope.
On VHS.
That's so cool.
It's got this poster,
mm-hmm.
which like I don't have any room to hang posters up in my room because it's an attic room. But
oh yeah,
one of the best things to come out of the animated Lord of the Rings is the like the poster art, because that's just so cool.
Yeah. Gandalf with his big ol' sword. I don't remember if he has beater or biter.
Glamdring. I don't know.
Yeah. It's also funny that, like, I only know them by the goblin names.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But it has a book. It has a book. The behind the scenes of this movie is a book.
Okay. A small paperback book.
Yeah. And then the box is actually one of those, like... I love these VHS special sets that come with, like, the card box.
That's nice. It's so like not a just a sleeve. One. Or the, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's the actual VHS. Anyway.
Wow. That's dope. Do you have a VHS player going on in your room?
Yes, I do.
Do you watch a lot of VHSs still?
Old tech. I don't watch them that often, but when I do, it's like it's for special occasions. I remember watching A New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
I never want to just say Star Wars because obviously it's just called Star Wars.
Right.
But if I say Star Wars, people are like, which one? Just Star Wars.
I get
but,
you.
Like the original, the first VHS release, mm-hmm. so it's only had very minor edits to it. And it still includes two bloopers that were just for some reason left in.
Yo?
Including two stormtroopers walking in a close-up scene.
One of them hits his head, right?
And one of them hits his head. Yeah, and it's just in there. And it's like, huh? And that's been removed from the digital releases, but it's incredible.
That is like, yeah, that was like the pinnacle of Star Wars to me until Jean's Guy happened in The Mandalorian. You know about Jean's Guy?
I haven't seen The Mandalorian. I don't know anything about it.
So in season two of The Mandalorian, this is not a spoiler in any way. In season two of The Mandalorian, there was a scene where you can clearly see a guy in the background which is wearing jeans. Like, it's just a crew member, but he's just a guy in jeans. They've removed it since. Okay. But like when it first came out on Disney Plus, season two, it was Jean's
Guy. Oh, that's
guy.
Like in Game of Thrones. I'm not sure if you watched Game of Thrones when it was airing.
A little bit. Not much.
One of the episodes in the final season has this big war council where they're all around a table, mm-hmm. and there's a Starbucks cup on the table. It's like, how did this happen? I did hear about in The Mandalorian, though.
Lannisters can afford Starbucks.
In the Mandalorian, I did hear exciting news. Didn't they bring back Glub Shitto?
Who?
My favorite Star Wars character, Glub Shitto.
Hold on. I'm so confused right now. Is this something that I should know?
It's one of those things where I can say any gibberish name and you'll be like, oh, is that actually in the series? It's my favorite thing.
I did
one before where someone was like my brother was watching The Mandalorian. I was like, oh, didn't they bring back Garm Foreskin? And he was like,
okay, I think I know this meme. Because I looking it up jogged my memory, where it's like, yeah, with Star Wars, there's so many background characters, and especially that they've made, like, action figures and stuff of.
Mm-hmm.
You can literally say
they're
anything.
All named.
Yeah.
They're all named.
Yeah.
And they're all actually, like, book-wild names. Like Glub Shitto. That could be in there.
It could be. It could very well be. Yeah, absolutely.
Mandalorian looks cool.
Best part of it. I'm also really, like, I know that I edit this, so I could have simply removed it if I had done this, but I'm just, S-tier chuffed that I did not say, like, oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about, like, pretend.
Yes.
Which is, like, absolutely something I would have done in high school, like, just due to, like, social anxiety. Just be like, mm-hmm. yeah, I know what that is. I'm not a fake fan. Big piece of advice for the people at home. If somebody, like, references something and you don't know what it is, just say you don't know what it is. Otherwise, you're going to end up on TV.
Yeah. One of the things that really helped me to realize that it's okay to just be like, I don't know what you're talking about, is when, like, getting into anime and manga. Because that only happened, you know, in the last, like, few years.
Yeah.
And I talked to other fans of, like, series and stuff, and I realized that everyone I know seems to know more about the series that I've watched than I do.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's just like an issue of my memory or whatever, or if I just don't pay enough attention, but whatever it is. And I used to have the bad habit of people would be like, oh, you know that scene with blah, 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 and blah? I'm like, yeah, obviously. But I've realized recently it's like it's much better for me and the people I'm talking to if I just like I'm honest. I'm like, no, I do not remember that. And then they can give me a reminder. That's been especially apparent when I finished, like, the two longest series I've ever actually read, One Piece and Naruto.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's so much to remember in these series.
One Piece has, like, upwards of 10 chapters, doesn't it?
Yeah, it has. A little more than that, actually. It's really interesting when people go at me, like, they just name a character, and I'm like,
who?
I do not know who that is.
Who?
Who is that? Snoop Dogg clip? That should.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I know there's one with Eminem where it's like. I think it's like Ron Burgundy. It's like asking him, Like, what do you think about, or like, how do you respond to so-and-so dissing you? And he's like, who? I know that's a clip.
Yeah. I recently watched, I think it's from The Interview, that classic movie, the clip of Eminem coming out of gay.
Yes, that's from The Interview, yeah.
That shit is like, it's so good. That is such a good scene.
If the movie ended there, like not that the movie's bad or anything, but like, that's the best part of the movie.
Honestly.
Yeah.
That's like the intro.
That's the peak of the movie.
I was going to say something. Oh, about One Piece. I know you started reading it, right?
Yeah.
One sec. I nearly fucked up my recording. We're good, though. Okay. We're good.
You're not recording in FL, are you?
No, thank God. I'm recording in Adobe Audition. I'm far superior software.
Cool.
But in One Piece, one thing I really like about it is that it's not set in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, I get why a lot of anime is, and they have Japanese names, but One Piece is set in this fantasy world, so it has like fantasy names, and they're so much more memorable because they don't belong to any one specific culture.
Right.
So it's just like, and they're apparently doing this live action One Piece is in the works, and they've hired actors from like the different place in the world where these characters are inspired by, and I love that.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm just so excited for it. I think like, it's like a, I'm going to get it completely wrong, but it's something like the Straw Hat, the main characters.
Mm-hmm.
They're like Brazilian. Obviously, one of them is Japanese, one of them is British.
You're right, there are like a Brazilian characters.
Yeah, there's a Brazilian of them. So of course I can't remember them.
Right.
How many is a Brazilian?
Well, that, yeah. That depends on what quality you're looking for.
Oh my God. How many layers can you work into a bad pun?
It's a lot, right? I got a lot of Brazil. I'm kind of a Brazil nut. A lot of jokes.
Holy shit. Something about waxing lyrical.
Yeah.
That would be a good one.
Uh-huh.
Like wax.
That would be.
Yeah.
That's how I'm doing jokes now. I'm just going to say like, this would be a good one. If I had a joke about this would be really funny.
I love jokes where it's like some assembly is required.
If I had
just give them the pieces and they put it together themselves.
If I had a Tanjiro rap, like that would slap, wouldn't it? All right, done.
That would be crazy.
That would go so hard.
I'm not going to post I'm not gonna any do videos it. On YouTube anymore. I'm just going to make community posts where I describe the songs. And I'm like, wouldn't that be crazy? And they'll be like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Who has time? That's my my reactions are going to be in the comments of your community posts.
Oh, that would be incredible.
So we are in these super short episodes now. So I gotta get to the end with some would you rather's and will you press the buttons?
Yeah.
I was getting content. I was getting a little like fed up of running into the same questions over and over on the sites. So I've taken the liberty of writing a few.
Excellent.
So here we go. So. Here's a would you rather. Would you rather have your arms be 2 feet longer or your legs be 1 foot shorter? And for our European listeners, a foot is what goes on the end of your leg.
Wow. That's tricky.
Tricky, isn't it?
Can you imagine both at the same time?
Yeah, I think you'd be like...
You'd look like a...
A gibbon, I think. Is that what I'm thinking of?
I was going to say a WWE superstar creation.
yeah, like a Monster Factory character.
Yeah. I think I would prefer the long arms.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, admittedly, those would be the most striking for people to see it the first time. Like, whoa,
yeah.
You'd why have those, are your arms like, so long?
Can you imagine but like Conor McGregor
most
with,
practical.
With arms that were 2 feet longer? Doing his like warm up thing,
unstoppable,
or like Michael Phelps, where he does that like his pre swim thing, where he like wraps his arms around himself. Those are the two arm based warm ups I can think of off top.
I think it would just be the most practical.
Yeah, you could also just reach
because like
any number of things.
Yeah,
imagine like not like imagine going into like the NBA. Right. And you're like 5 feet tall, but you have like 6 foot arms. And everyone's like, he's five. How hard can this guy be to guard? He's 5 feet tall. But then you get up there with your with your big gibbon arms. You're just dunking flat-footed.
That'd be crazy. whereas with like shorter legs, I can't really imagine any practical good thing that would come up from that, except for when you sit on a chair, you'd be able to like swing your legs around, and that'd be quite cute.
Yeah, I'm actually, the other thing is like riding on airplanes would probably be a fair bit better.
Yeah, not that we do much of that right now.
One time I had to ride from Indiana to Kentucky. It was about like a 4 hour road trip, which isn't that bad. But I was in the back of a Suburban, Chevy Suburban. And the very back seats of those are built for people with no legs. I mean, genuinely, like, there is no place to put your legs. And so I was just, like, I was just locked into, like, not being able to move my legs for 4 hours. It was the worst.
Yeah.
If my legs were for shorter, I feel like that would have been the way to go. I feel like already my arms are 2 feet longer. I feel like that just is the case for me. So I feel like whichever I choose is going to be more dramatic than it should be.
Mm. I don't know how long my arms are. You a lanky fella?
I'm a lanky fella. Yeah, I've got that. Yeah. I've got that Dick Van Dyke physique. They say
viewers at home won't be able to hear, but we are nodding to each
We're
other.
We're just right nodding now. To each other. I was going to say Friest Bombadil is a lanky fellow, but I couldn't figure out how to work it into conversation. Bright pink, his jacket is... I don't have yellow boots. So Ryman's there. And his mic stand is yellow. There we go.
There you go.
Literally a banana hanger.
That is a banana hanger.
Yeah. Banana hanger seems like... It seems like a slur, but I'm not sure, like... But banana hanger sounds homophobic, is what it sounds like. Like
it kind of does.
Yo, I think
there's a term for...
There's a banana hanger.
There's a semi-offensive term for someone near where I live, a little north of where I live.
There's a lot of offensive terms for people where you live.
True. But the one that I'm thinking of is monkey hanger.
Okay.
Because there is a town a little to the north of me where during the Second World War... There was a ship that wrecked in their bay, and the only passenger aboard was a monkey, which they tried as a foreign spy. The monkey couldn't defend itself because it was a monkey.
Right.
And so they hanged it to death.
No!
So people from that town are now called monkey hangers, which of course they despise.
Monkey hanger. That's horrible. I feel like I would have at least looked for a zipper before I, like, tried a monkey.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if there's somebody in there, maybe extract them. But a monkey? A monkey is...
Now...
Only really works for whoever has food, I think.
Yeah. And the concept of, like, trying a monkey as a spy sounds absurd. However, at the time, the British military was training dogs, pigeons, and monkeys to be spies.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm aware, it didn't work.
Can you imagine, like, if they combined really them and they had, like, the monkey riding atop the dog with a pigeon on its shoulder?
Mm-hmm.
Just into battle. That'd glorious, glorious battle.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool. So here's a way you press the button, and this one is tailored to you, specifically.
Okay. Excellent.
So... This is, will you press the button? You're the world's best producer, but you can't rap.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, sorry. I thought I had DPS book today. I got a different one for you. No. this one is...
The world's best producer, but I can't rap.
Best producer, but you can't rap. Will you press the button?
I think I would. I feel like I just have more fun with production. But at the same time, it's like, it's the most like thankless part of like this career.
Like you don't get recognition for it usually.
Yeah, like if you rap on a stinky beat, people will tell you it's a stinky beat.
Yeah,
but if you rap on a really good beat, barely anyone will mention the beat.
Yeah. Yeah. I have had the flip side of that a few times where, like, I'll put out a song and people will be like, this beat slaps, but they won't say anything about the song. And then that makes me feel insecure.
Mm.
But also good because I made the beat. So it's like, but also I'm a better rapper than a producer usually. So then I'm like, oh no.
Because if I was the best producer in the world, what I would do is a kind of like, what are their name? Like Calvin Harris. You know, like the big pop producers whose names are on the song, but they don't perform. They just, they construct it.
Right.
I do that kind of thing, right? So I think people would then know my name and it would be more like, okay, this is a cool production.
Okay, yeah.
And I would just feature DPS and Conor Quest in every song.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. What about the like the flip? Like if you're the world's best rapper, but you can produce?
I think most of the world's best rappers can't produce, right? So,
yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah, most of them.
You know what? If you give me the option, either I'm the world's best rapper and I can't produce, or I'm the world's best producer and I can't rap, I would choose to be the best rapper.
Yeah, me too.
Without the production skill. Because being able to perform live, like in the long term, that sounds like the best.
Yeah.
The best for me.
I feel like the only flip side to that is like, probably being a producer is like more stable long term.
Yeah, for sure.
But then again, I totally want to be like on stage at 70 rapping. Like that's what I would love to do that. I don't get anybody who's like, oh, once you hit 35, you need to stop rapping. Just why?
Yeah.
Are you suddenly not good at it? If you weren't good before, maybe. But like, if you already like doing it and you're good at doing it, like, why would there be an age cap? You know what I'm saying? Okay. Speaking of rapping, I'm going to wrap this episode up with...
That was a clean segue.
With... I guess I'll still do a good vibes. I haven't really thought about that. A good vibe. Okay. A good vibe this week. Oh, good vibe this week is I finally did my first stream. It was just like a test stream, but it was 3 hours and it went really well and it was super fun.
Yeah.
And I want to do more of those.
Can't wait for that.
That was a good vibe. Let's see. Okay. I'll do the last little segment that I was talking about. I'll do that at the very end. So first, why don't you tell people where they can find you online? I mean, assuming they don't already know.
I'm Shrubbity. So you can search for Shrubbity on YouTube or Twitter is where I'm like most active.
I hope to God that I introduced you at the beginning of this episode because I genuinely can't remember.
You said my name. You definitely said my name. And I said hello. I mean, I'm Shrubbity literally everywhere. So if you know how to spell Shrubbity, it's in the episode title.
Yes.
Just type that in Google and you'll find. Don't type it in Google, but type it in YouTube and Spotify.
Yeah. Are you on Google?
If you type it in Google, I actually have my little artist card pops up on the right, which is cool.
That's the flex.
That makes me feel like real.
I feel like that was when I first felt like I had made it in like any degree whatsoever. It was when I could type my name into Google and I was the first result rather than like somebody selling, like trying to get rid of free CDs.
when you type your name into Google and it doesn't say, did you mean, and then this other thing.
Exactly.
That's when I felt, that's when I was like, oh, I've made
did
it.
Did you mean sad baby? No. I know.
there was a few. If you typed in a YouTube, it would come up saying like, "Did you mean like Shiwadi Wadi?" And I was like, "No." But if you typed in a Google, it used to autocorrect to this Indian actor's name.
Oh,
I think it was called like Shabodi or something like that.
Yeah,
but yeah.
But now look at you. You're coming up on 100K.
Now it's Shwabity.
And like making.
I actually
moves?
Am.
That's crazy.
I'm gonna try and make. I'm trying to make merch for. I'm trying to make special 100K merch.
Oh hell yeah!
Yeah,
I'm copping that. Shrubby's links will be in the description, of course. So, you know, check that out if you're listening on YouTube. If you're listening on YouTube, check out my main channel, Freest. You can just type that into Bing, today's sponsor, Bing. you can find me on Twitter @MeFreest. You can find me on Instagram @FreestRaps. You can find JPC from the podcast, Hey Riddle Riddle on Twitter. That's just an interesting thing. That's just a fact, not related to this. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/freeze with 6 E's in the middle, FreeEeCed. Rolls right off the tongue. I think that's pretty much it. Oh, join my Discord server. The link to that's in the description. We just passed 100 members recently. That was cool. It's cool. Very cool.
A fun fact is if you type If you go on Twitter and you search for Neil himself, that's Neil Gaiman, the author. If you type in Neil yourself, that's Neil Cicierega, the musicalist.
Oh, interesting. Wow. All right. Well, why don't you all go Neil yourself? I don't know what that means. It just sounds vaguely threatening. We've got one last little segment here, which is going to be the audience participation part. And this is a rhyme challenge. So I thought I'd have my guest, Shwabadi, go ahead and throw just like a phrase, just whatever you think of, like just a phrase for the people at home to rhyme with in the comments. And then down in the comments, leave your best rhyme to this phrase.
Make a thunderous sound.
Make a thunderous sound. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the more like syllables you get, and like the better of a rhyme it is, the more creative it is.
Can I give an example?
Yeah. Make a thunderous sound.
Wake the slumbering hound.
Wake the slumbering hound. If you wake the slumbering hound, you've made a blunder, I've found.
Okay.
Let's go.
I think the audience gets it now. Yeah. They can do that.
Yeah, you can do that.
Bonus points for the most syllables.
Yeah, most points, most syllables. And maybe y'all can like rank those with likes. Just a fun game. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, thank you all for listening to The Breakfast Club. I've been Freest. This over here is Schwabity. Yep. Take care.
Bye. Thank you.